Your countdown clock has now terminated function. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up.
Right now, having a national security scare is actually good political news for the president and the White House and the Republican Party.
Morning, you are being bombed by CCTV.
But the problem today is that the situation is so large and so all-encompassing that whatever is going to happen, the whole world is going to feel it. Everything. Everyone's going to feel this one.
The answer to 1984 is 1776.
Illuminating Radio. Alex Ansari. Outside the Box.
All right, good evening, my friends. It's September 3rd, 2008. I'm Alex Ansari with you for the next 2 hours on We the People Radio Network. Well, not a lot going on in the world. Kind of a slow news week. I think we're going to be talking about baking apple pie, American style, and maybe we'll talk about canning and some other things. And maybe we'll bring on Martha Stewart and we'll go over, how to sew a quilt, you know, maybe sometime in the second hour of the broadcast. But in all seriousness, 512-646-1984, that's the number to call. Hell on Earth erupting, where would you like to start this afternoon? It's all up to you. A couple different things I'm looking at. I'm looking at the aftermath of the DNC. I'm looking at the birth of the RNC and seeing people like Amy Goodman being arrested, being charged with a misdemeanor. Seeing her arm grabbed aggressively by a police officer. Also seeing one Code Pink protester. I think this was at the DNC, smacked with a baton right beside her forehead. Seen a lot of violence towards women, specifically at these protests. I find that to be a little bit eerie. Seen a lot of people rounded up on the first day of the RNC, 283 people. I'm also seeing some other things in the news, a lot of tensions in the Black Sea. We're seeing the IMF move to aid Georgia with $750 million. We see Condoleezza Rice moving to give them $1 billion in aid. And, of course, cities across America are looking at giving the big banks control of American infrastructure. And that's nothing new there. We see eminent domain being passed in 2005 and it being implemented incrementally in our world today. You know, I went camping a couple times this week just to get away from it all. Went up to Mount Adams, back to James Gilliland's ranch up there in Trout Lake, Washington. I went up there Saturday night. Came back on Sunday. Actually just got back from Wyatt Park, camping up there off Exit 51 in the Columbia River Gorge. I want to say that area is beautiful, and I'd like to move out there in the Hood River area, maybe somewhere over by Corbett. I think that life in the city is getting crazier and crazier incrementally. I seek to either be, you know, surrounded by people of like minds or to keep my head clean and clear by being in nature. That way maybe I can focus more on the show, writing a book or something like that. So I look at the world today and I see total insanity. I saw a lot of fear concerning Hurricane Gustav and now a lot of concerns about multiple hurricanes that are forming in the Atlantic as I speak. Cascadia subduction zone. Very active again. As far high as Alaska, as far south as South America. We're also seeing things in Vancouver, B.C., California. Even another 5.4, I believe, or 5.1 off the coast of Oregon, which would trigger a, on the Richter scale, 9.0 magnitude, which would cause a tsunami in the Pacific Northwest. Portland's right next to the Columbia River, which is connected to the ocean. A lot of different things taking place. How do we move forward without fear and kind of embrace this attitude of non-attachment? Because I think, to a certain degree, that's the only thing that's going to save our behinds psychologically and spiritually in the days, months, years to come. It's a little bit more than physical preparedness and survival. So we're seeing a lot of money being given to Georgia. Both the U.S. and Europe are working on a big assistance package that Georgia hopes will provide as high as $2 billion or more in aid. Now, Vice President Dick Cheney is going to travel to Georgia this week in a trip that could help lay the groundwork for a stiffer Western response to the Russian incursion. Mr. Cheney, who will also visit Ukraine and another region, is expected to stress the depth of U.S. interest in Georgia. Some experts say that the U.S. may step up military assistance to Georgia, perhaps by supplying more military trainers. There's also some allegation that in the ships where we're supposedly providing aid, we're actually providing weapons. More broadly, an administration official had said, Washington is seeking a long-term strategic framework for the region in light of Russia's new assertiveness. Oh, man, and it's all happening way too soon. Quicker than what we're ready to be dealing with at this time. We have other things that we need to be dealing with in our own backyard. Now we have this mess about these neocon social freaks. Their interest coming in buying up critical U.S. infrastructure. Georgia, Russia, right now, because the West is currently engaged in propaganda, but that does not mean that they're innocent or that they have not themselves engaged in human trafficking of one form or another. And it looks like I just got disconnected. I see you there trying to bring me back up. You're calling me, okay. All right, we're back on, aren't we? Oh, I'm not on the. Oh shit! Okay. Do you read me there? I hear you. I'm still on, aren't I? All right. Well, I'm back on Skype. Thank you. I was just trying to get confirmation that we're back. All right. Well, thank you. And we'll continue on. Thank everybody for their patience. And again, this whole thing with Georgia, Russia, and the United States is going to spill into larger and larger things. We see Human Rights Watch reporting that Georgia has admitted dropping cluster bombs. And they're also saying that Russia used the widely condemned weapons in several places during the conflict. Moscow has rejected the accusations. And again, more stuff is happening around the world. We're also seeing some stuff in Pakistan. We're seeing the fall of Musharraf and a power void in the region. A lot of people are concerned about some sort of a nuclear strike between India and Pakistan. In this headline, we're seeing more headlines like it. U.S.-led forces killed Pakistani women and children. Intelligence officials and witnesses have reported that at least 15 people, including women and children, were killed in an attack involving U.S.-led forces in a remote Pakistani village near the border with Afghanistan. The U.S.-led coalition in Afghanistan said it had no report of such an incursion. The U.S. and Pakistan, allies in the war on terror, have had tensions over cross-border attacks, including suspected American missile strikes in Pakistani territory. In one high-profile incident earlier this month, this is something that we read to you, Pakistan said 11 of its soldiers died when U.S. aircraft bombed their border post. So we're seeing a lot more stories involving missile attacks in tribal regions in Pakistan where we did not see them before. So the war is escalating. In terms of the European Union and their central form of government, a central currency, the EU is attempting to destroy habeas corpus. British citizens could be convicted in their absence by foreign courts for traffic, credit card, or other criminal offenses under plans approved in principle by the European Parliament. proposals would allow citizens to be extradited automatically under fast-track procedures at the request of another European Union country on the basis of a decision by the foreign court. The overwhelming adoption by the Parliament of the proposals, which now is going to go to the Council of Ministers, was condemned yesterday as, quote, throwing habeas corpus out of the window. Now, I want to go over some of the things taking place with food. We haven't mentioned that for some time. We've mentioned a wheat virus called UG99, which stands for the year and place of its origin, Uganda 1999, which is spreading around the world, laying down in Iran right now. It's already affected parts of Pakistan. There's a separate virus affecting wheat in Kansas now. As if right on cue, here we see something with the oranges. Citrus crops in U.S. under siege from unknown bacterium. Citrus greening is blazing throughout the Florida citrus groves like wildfire. Scientists don't know how long it will take to find a treatment or a cure for this contagious bacterial disease. One scenario projects that within 9 to 10 years, all the citrus trees currently in the ground are going to be dead. Growers describe the disease as being much worse than the citrus virus, which has already killed over 4 million trees. Currently, there are 30 counties in Florida that are quarantined for citrus greening. As in the oranges, the trees there are quarantined. They're not leaving the region for fear of some sort of a outbreak. It's just a little bit alarming. All right, moving forward, scientists sue to stop black hole from sucking up the Earth. We're talking about CERN. A European court said the idea of a new super collider project would create a celestial vacuum and eventually consume the Earth. They say it's worth discussing, this prospect of a total disaster. But the project can move forward on schedule anyway, they say. At dispute is what could happen should planned experiments at the super collider built near Geneva by the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or CERN, go awry when the massive atomic particle smasher is fired up next week. Now, if you go to blacklistednews.com, a lot of great articles there, and as well as propagandamatrix.com, and my own website is alexansary.com. I got some information about the Georgian-Russian conflict. And it is so amazing to see how few people are actually aware of it. But what's greater than that is the apathy factor. And I'm getting to the point now in my life where I'm more focused on doing the show here with you guys, talking about it with people that are interested, because although I have some really interesting conversations lately, I mean, I've just been coming against wall after wall after wall. It's so alarming. It's so damaging to their belief systems, many of those belief systems holding them back from being who they truly are. It's so much for them to deal with because it appears to be so negative and there isn't a clear solution or way out from their perspective. And that's part of the problem here. People are looking for an easy solution, an easy 1-2-3 answer for how we're going to get out of this mess. And I don't think what we're looking at is that simple. Just easily, like, you know, figuring out exactly how we're going to get out of it in a short period of time, because we are not in agreement on what the problem is. If you're talking about the federal government and the build-up towards martial law, that's one particular thing. When you're talking about the Earth's geomagnetic field changing, declining, the Earth changes, which some of them may be the result of tectonic or scalar weapons or HARP, but I don't think that explains everything. Now, what's going on here with Gustav, I admit, is very, very strange. I mean, we're looking at August 29th, 2008, possibly this area being hit twice on the same day, on the three-year anniversary, but it got reduced from a what they thought it would be, a Category 4 hurricane, to a Category 2. But even so, it's still so alarming at the timing of all of it. And, you know, just for humor, I watched Bush's speech, like many of you, give his little satellite address to the RNC after watching Laura Bush's introduction of him and how he has kept us safe all of these years, and that will live in his legacy, on in history. It almost makes you wonder, are they trying to say that at the end of all this there will be terrorist attacks when Bush is gone? Just to maybe teach us some kind of a sick lesson about obeying authority. Maybe that's kind of far out there, but it makes you wonder. I know a lot of things are going to happen when Bush supposedly steps out of office in January 2009. Some people are predicting that the full-on government is going to crash in February 2009 after the U.S. stock market crashes in September of this year. Well, it's already September. A lot of predictions have been made for this month alone. So I guess we're just going to have to wait it out and see. And so, yeah, I'm interested in leaving. I'm interested in getting out of the epicenter of a whole lot of crazy, insane martial law activity. I mean, we were talking about the black helicopters next week, and I think that's where we'll go next in the next segment. I'd like to get your take on that. 512-646-1984. Are you seeing harassment in your town? Did you see or hear about what took place in Portland last week? Do you have any friends up here that talk to you about it? Apparently Jason Burmes, who's going to be my guest tomorrow on the TV show, got phone calls from some of his friends down here in Portland. And I know that James at MediaMonarchy.com published an article that got on some of the sites. And I wrote an article as well. And it's some pretty alarming stuff, because you're talking about a situation where few people have any idea that it happened. And for those that did see it, it's like, well, who really cares? I guess they just got to practice somewhere. It didn't really creep out as many people as I thought it would have. Some people were really freaked out. But a lot of people were just shrugging their shoulders going, well, isn't that what America's like? Isn't that how it is? All right, we got a break. Give me a call, 512-646-1984. My website's alexhansery.com, and we will see you then. Stick around. This article in particular, just because I want to make a point about technology taking over people's actions, behaviors, their minds at times, which of course precedes taking over their actions and behaviors, you know, the battle for the mind, getting people so obsessed about technology that they're willing to kill for it. Now, this is a headline we're looking at from India. A teenager arrested in deadly iPod dispute. A 14-year-old schoolboy in eastern India has been arrested on suspicion of murdering a younger student who refused to give him her iPod, according to police. The boy allegedly pushed the 10-year-old girl off a 30-foot bridge, then climbed out and strangled her unconscious body on Monday. According to the officer in charge of the local police station, he said it was a murder with intention. He murdered her in anger because she refused to part with the gadget. Article goes on to say a recent boom in India's economy has brought benefits to millions of middle-class Indians, but has simultaneously exposed simmering discontents such as socio-economic inequalities soar and aspirations rise. We were always worried about students bringing such gadgets to the school, according to the headmaster. We've had several notices and given enough warnings, asking them not to bring iPods and cell phones to class. The boy who tried to hide the body behind a bush was arrested. If convicted of murder, the boy could be sent to a juvenile detention center for up to 10 years. There was no immediate comment from the boy's family. All right, so what does this story mean to us? What does it mean to you? Take a look at this situation and ask yourself this question. Are we moving into a reality where more people are willing to kill for material items? I think the answer is yes. Now, what's happening to the kids today? You take a look at some of these video games, what they're exposed to in the media, what they're exposed to, the type of pornography that's easily accessible to them, the type of stuff that's really warping their minds, both men and women, as they're growing and learning about the world and, you know, developing belief systems and ideas of who they are, the idea of self. There are a lot of loopholes, a lot of corridors, a lot of trap doors for them to fall into more than when I was a kid. And I think about a teenage guy and girl today, what kind of stuff is hitting them in terms of the propaganda war and the disinfotainment land of Disney. The media monopoly giving them a centralized worldview of what life's like, how to find a mate, how to look cool, how to behave, how to dress, how to act, how to talk. It's a little different. And it was bizarre when I was young, in the 90s, and, you know, a lot of weird stuff going on then at the schools I went to. But today, different scene. And I was on my way out by the time the cameras really started coming in. I didn't have to deal with any thumb scanning. There's a lot of people still that don't have to, but it's coming. It's coming, so they get used to it when they're a little bit older. But overall, things are really tough, increasingly tough. For a lot of people that, you know, they're walking into a different world than the world that I walked into when 9/11 did not happen yet, and we were not in a never-ending war on terror. A lot of these kids are. Some of them are going to see a scary future ahead where not a lot of room to have any hope. You care about yourself or care about others. It's not going to happen with everybody. Some people want to learn more about the world and where we came from and why this is happening. In other words, become more spiritual. And some other people are going to willfully, gleefully take part in the upcoming rising gang and organized crime culture that's going to reemerge. This is what happens when the economies break down. We're going to have a whole wave of mercenaries and gangbangers back. There was a period there where things kind of went down and things changed for a period of time, but things get really, really bad and violent and the economy really, really breaks. Some people come together. You have a little bit of both at the same time. What side of the fence are you going to be on? Now, I go back to the news here, and I think about all this stuff happening around the world. I mean, how insane it's really getting. All the money that's being wasted, how a lot of people are just not ready for it. And here come the black helicopters for a couple days over Portland. Wednesday night, I try to catch some of the action at Jansen Beach up in North Portland. And I missed some of it because it came out later at night. I ended up going back downtown. Well, they were flying, but with their lights off. And I went with Clyde Lewis of Ground Zero Radio. He does a little show down there at Dante's on Mondays from 8 to 9. And we went around and did some man-on-the-street interviews to see where people were at. You know, we found that most people didn't know or didn't really care. A few homeless people were aware, but most didn't really care. And we ended up walking over by the old Satyricon, over by 6th and Davis, and there was about 30 people getting ready to beat up one guy over something really ridiculous. And we caught some of that on tape, and that's in the last show. Not all of it, though. There's a lot of stuff they edited out, and there's a lot of other stuff that we saw that just was not relevant to what we were there for. And so that was disappointing, and it was disappointing to Clyde. Because when the Navy SEALs, 180 of them, and other special operation forces come to your town and start practicing live rope insertion, which is jumping into apartment buildings, jumping on top of downtown buildings, practicing their urban warrior combat training, you know, raises alarms for a lot of people that are aware of what martial law is, or the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, which some say has already been abolished from George W. Bush's executive orders passed in 2006, like the Military Tribunals Act. So it's hard to say what exactly is the law anymore, but anyway, we saw in our town, and we see how the mayor is working with Homeland Security as well as the governor, and a lot of other people here locally, local authorities. And Potter's got a lot of money, and he's gone to China to increase trade with them, which will bring more of their ships here, but they've been here a long time anyway. They brought up they bought up the grain silos, the Japanese did, in the Midwest, about 8 of them, and probably growing by now. It's probably a lot more they've acquired. This was as of a couple weeks ago. So it makes a little bit of sense to me why they would want to add a little bit of military presence here. Make sure business continues to go on as normal. Keep the bread and circus here while the riots are going on, while martial law is declared. They'll keep the Walmarts and the McDonald's of the world and the 7-Elevens and the Slurpees and, you know, at least a few ATMs going if they can, to give people the illusion that everything is just fine. Now, got Obama here, and I saw part of his little speech at the DNC, and here he is talking towards women. You know, he's trying to go for that vote. Women, and they shouldn't have to work all night, you know, for tips, trying to make ends meet. It's time for some change, and just like a roar of change. Here comes like the side shot of Obama. You know, Ron Paul's long out of the discussion. You know, a lot of people, like, still don't know who he is. He's just not in the discussion. No one asks why. It's just this one guy who gives a speech at the DNC with it set up like a Greek temple, in fact. This is an AP article that I'm looking at. And so all the symbolism is there, including some of the fascist symbolisms, the symbology that's there, including the fasci are still in Congress today. That's something that Adolf Hitler carried, and we all know about the Olympics. Hitler bringing the rings to us and the running of the torch around, founded in 1936. And later, some of the countries he invaded were countries that he earlier ran the torch through, which freaks me out a little bit when I think about China today. So there we have it. It's a strange, strange world. And, yeah, I think we should do ourselves a favor, get out of the big cities if we can. But for a lot of people that are tired of the city like me, have two places instead of one. You know, give yourself a little bit of insurance, a little bit of leeway. You know, have a plan, A, B, C, D, and have a lot of friends. Do what you can now. I mean, you're all being warned ahead of time. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to go ahead and cover some of the other pieces of news and the other developments. Show that we are in the direction of a World War III, and so we have to wake up as many people as we can. Whether they're willing to listen to us or not, it's really a matter of planting the seed. So we'll be back after this.
Lighting the fires of liberty with your host, Michael Badnarik, from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, Monday through Friday, only on We the People Radio Network.
There's a lot of concern about FEMA death camps and some of these body containers that are being discovered. It's about 1 million of them and growing, and a lot of people are real alarmed about what this means. We have reports that if we have an outbreak of bird flu, H5N1, they will quarantine American cities, towns, regions. They'll break them off, make sure that there's a shelter-in situation in place where you don't leave. And that's what the plan is for Portland if we had some sort of a attack of some form. And that was revealed to us in Top Off 4, also where Kulongoski, the governor, dies in some sort of a heart attack where he has to prepare for succession of government, invoke the succession of government clause of the Oregon State Constitution. Which they say, you know, just hands over power to the Secretary of State, which could easily, though, hand over power to Michael Chertoff, Homeland Security, or to FEMA, or maybe that's already in their contingency plan. So, yeah, there's this other piece of information as well that has been highlighted. And the name of this report is FEMA Red Blue List Marked for Termination. It's just another blog out there that's being sent around. And I know a lot of people get really, really attracted to some of these fearful headlines, but I'm going to cover some pieces of information that I haven't covered already, specifically the fact that on March 13, 2008, there was a secret closed-door meeting of the U.S. States House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. During the last 182 years in the history of the United States, this is only the sixth time a secret meeting has been held by the House. Even though representatives are sworn to secrecy by House Rules 17, some of the members were so shocked and horrified, furious and concerned about the future of America by what was revealed to them inside the secret meeting that they have started to leak the secret information out to independent news agencies around the world. The mass media said almost nothing about the secret meeting of the House, mentioning only one of the items being discussed. The story was first released in a newspaper out of Brisbane, Australia, revealing the contents of a secret U.S. government meeting and plans for America, including all of its citizens. Shortly thereafter, David J. Meyer from Last Trumpet Ministries found it and made it more available for the world to see. And I think someone sent me newsletters from this person in the past. I'm going to go over some of the things that they say are in this report. It says, here is what was revealed, according to their sources and this paper over in Australia. And some of these predictions are a little bit alarming. The imminent collapse of the U.S. economy to occur sometime in late 2008. The imminent collapse of the U.S. government finances sometime in mid-2009. The possibility of civil war inside the United States as a result of the collapse. The advance roundups of insurgent U.S. citizens likely to move against the government. The detention of those rounded up at the Rec 84 camps constructed throughout the United States. The possibility of public retaliation against members of Congress for the collapses. That's something they're really concerned about. And that's something that a lot of people do. They're going to go after people in Congress. There's a lot of people with those plans. And that's not helping the situation. The location of safe facilities for members of Congress and their families to reside during massive civil unrest. And we read about the drills they did in May, where they simulated some sort of an attack on D.C. and them moving some of these guys underground over in Colorado. It goes on to say the necessary and unavoidable merger of the U.S. with Canada and Mexico establishing the North American Union. And then it talks about the Amero for all three nations as an economic solution. All the stuff we have repeated over and over and over until it just gets just too insane. And there's stuff in here about the FEMA body containers. And there's about an estimated 500,000 to 1,000,000 plastic coffins in the U.S. state of Georgia, not the former Soviet state. They, again, maybe they have 500,000 to 1,000,000 to 2,000,000 plastic containers in Georgia, and maybe Kuwait and other places. But they, again, I guess they just like to bury the bodies in mass graves. I guess they don't need a coffin. All right, so we have that going on in the news. And again, all these stories about violence and fights, muggings, kidnappings, in the news, in the local news. You're just scratching your head going, I mean, what is wrong with these people? You know, a lot of people think that serial killers and rapists are born that way. I wonder sometimes. I really wonder if maybe there's something else going on. They're just reacting to all this technology, reacting to all the mind control, brainwashing. You know, I see it happen to men. I see it happen to women. I see it happen to everybody to a certain degree. They just don't know who they are, and they're chasing this feeling of pleasure that they think they're going to get from controlling someone or hurting someone. And it doesn't have to be a police officer for someone to be engaged in brutality against someone else. It happens in the real world. There are just a lot of people that like to hurt other people that end up going into law enforcement because all of a sudden they get a green light to do so. Some people know that. I actually had a friend in high school. He used to talk about, you know, wanting to sell drugs, be a criminal, be a thug. And he had in his mind, I'm not joking. I am actually not joking. When we were 16, 17, 18, you know, and wrestling together and doing other things together, talking about being some sort of, you know, Mr. Badass in the future by being a cop. And, yeah, he got into drugs and whatnot, got a felony charge for possession of heroin. So, you know, his dream of being a police state thug did not come to fruition. And later on, he wanted to actually go to Iraq. I believe it was in 2004. You know, see if he can get that little criminal record expunged so he can go serve his country. You know, his dad was a rag cop back in San Francisco in the 70s. That's what he looked up to. So what's true, there's a lot of people out there that learn that if you want to be a thug, you got to go sometimes with the strongest gang. And the Portland police is a gang, you know, in certain respects. So is, you know, the Austin Police Department. So is New York. That's just kind of how it is. Good old boy network within a good old boy network, if you will. There's a lot of gangs that are also engaged in law enforcement inside the prisons, inside the jails. Here in Portland, we have had something called the Brotherhood of the Strong. There are a couple groups of guys that had kind of a gang affiliation with tattoos on their arms, Brotherhood of the Strong, and there were a whole bunch of cops that were repeatedly in the news for brutality in the Justice Center downtown. They were proud of it. It was a badge that they wore. But again, it's more than just the police. It's when someone attacks someone in a bar because they feel threatened by them and they want to exert some type of control. It's the guy abusing his girlfriend or threatening to abuse her because he wants to feel that power, or the other way around in some cases. You know, it's the employer that has to talk down to his employee so he feels that he has something. He's above that person. I get that at my own job. It's the old, my grandfather warned me about it. It's the old pecking order, like chickens. One chicken pecking the smaller chicken, so on and so forth, down the totem pole. Always having a chief, and then always being an Indian underneath you. See, that's the world we got to change, and that's the world we have to address the imbalances that are out there. And I don't know what it's going to take to shake it up, but there are no easy answers. But the reality is a lot of us want that peace. And we want to see it in our lifetimes. We don't want to feel like we're stuck here in the city, you know, breathing the same air over and over and over, feeling this isolation from our neighbors that are literally feet away. And this reality that we're in, where, you know, we're only worried about ourselves, working for credits and digits and, you know, trying to keep everything on the up and up, you know, and just smile. And just say to ourselves, everything's okay. Everything's okay. I don't have to do anything. Everything's just okay. But it's not. Because we are affected by the destruction taking place in the Middle East and all the other dark alliances that our people controlling this government have already made. And let us never, never incorrectly assess the situation and say it's the government. So I think that's just what we see. Bush is just what we see. Obama is just what we see. Same with Edwards and Romney and Clinton and all these other puppets that are out there masquerading on the theater of war today. They're just puppets. But they are the war dogs working for something else. And that's what we're gunning for. But it's that energy, that fear that it lives off of. And that's what 9/11 was about. We're going to see more of that happen in the future. So we're going to have to do whatever we got to do to survive the mind wars. 512-646-1984. Going to take a quick break. I'm going to bring up a couple other news headlines. And we will continue this conversation. All right, see you in a few. Build up naval presence in the Black Sea. That's going to point up tension at this moment. Building up their naval presence in the Black Sea, going up against Russia. And there were also talks about Russia threatening to cut off oil supplies to Western Europe. That would be including Germany and Poland. And that would be the beginning of a long, long, long economic war. U.S. Pathfinder ship has entered the Black Sea. A Turkish military source has said. A Russian military source told RIA Novosti that ships of the Pathfinder class could be used for reconnaissance and intelligence gathering purposes. The anonymous source says we have reliable information confirming that the Pathfinder ship has arrived in the Black Sea primarily to conduct intelligence gathering operations in support of the NATO Naval Task Group currently deployed in the area. NATO sent 5 warships. They include guided missile launchers and pointed in the direction of the Black Sea after Russia completed its operation to force Georgia to peace on August 12th. The operation came as a response to Georgia's attack on South Ossetia on the 8th. Again, funded and trained, financed, controlled, all those things by Israel and the United States, who set up that whole operation, that whole launch, that whole attack where they brought Russia there, 9/11 on 8/8/8. And another U.S. warship is expected to arrive at the Black Sea in the next few days, according to Russian intelligence. Putin Tuesday said that Russia will respond calmly to the presence of NATO warships in the Black Sea. There are other reports that say the opposite. We will not strike first, as they do not look like people with suicidal tendencies. Okay, we're going to go and take a look at some of the other reports that are also emerging. Georgia militarizes commando units near South Ossetia. This came out in the last day or so. Okay, the article goes on to say that they're mobilizing at that region, in the region. Russia officially recognized South Ossetia as an independent state on August 26, saying that the move was needed to protect the region after Georgia's August 8th attack. The article goes on to say that Russia has deployed 19 peacekeeping operation posts in South Ossetia to provide security and stability in the republic. Georgia attacked South Ossetia on the 8th in an attempt to take control over the republic, which split off back in the 1990s, early 1990s. Well, again, many of these people in South Ossetia are Russians. And you have to look at all sides of the news right now, all different sides of the news, because you're getting propaganda all over. And I do want to say that the stories about human trafficking do seem to have disappeared off of the web. You know, they don't seem to be as available as they once were. Initially, when the information broke out, Moscow News, there were some reports. Going over to China and their interests in Iraqi oil, China crossed the line first in the race for big oil contracts in the post-Saddam Iraq and has gained a head start over Western oil majors in the competition for future energy deals. China's biggest oil company, state-run CNPC, agreed to a $3 billion service contract with Iraq on Wednesday. The deal could set a precedent for terms that fall short of the lucrative contracts the oil majors had hoped for as they jostle for access to the world's third largest oil reserves. Starved of investment since the Gulf War of 1990 to 1991, and the subsequent U.S.-led invasion of 2003 that removed Saddam, Iraq holds some of the world's last large, cheap, untapped oil reserves. There's a lot of other places, though, there's oil they don't talk about. So that's one little piece of news. And China is going to be supporting Russia in the next conflict. That came out next week, although it's nothing that surprises you or me. You already know about the drills that took place in Russia about this time last year under the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And so, yeah, it's all very much in our face. Now, Blackwater issued a mercenary call for Hurricane Gustav, and I'm glad I remember to bring this up. This is really interesting. They compiled a list of qualified security personnel, even from some people from my state and other states, California, Idaho, Nevada, for possible deployment into areas affected by Hurricane Gustav. Law enforcement officials, all criteria must apply. They wanted people with arrest powers, armed status, departmental credentials from the following states: Oregon, Washington, California, Nevada, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, Maryland, Illinois, and Oklahoma. Training verification. Well, at least they're looking like they're not trying to bring in people straight out of San Quentin. Now, they won't be doing that for another couple years. They're already starting to do that for the military. Culture of surveillance may contribute delusional condition. Actually, I thought this was an interesting report. When you think about people going crazy with all the technology out there, it's beginning to feel like you're living in a movie, okay, instead of the real world, like, oh, I don't know, the Truman Show, if you know what I mean. Well, this article kind of talks about that. Psychosis in the 21st century looks something like this. You think your every move is being filmed for a reality TV show starring you, and that everyone in your life is an actor, or you think you're under intense surveillance by an army of spies whom you refer to as the World Wide Web people as they wiretap your furniture and appliances. Or else you refuse to drink water because you fear that another cup drawn from your faucet will, once and for all, deplete the world's water supply. Little environmental fear there. Those thoughts are from three case studies of what psychiatrists interested in the intersection of mental illness, culture, and society are calling, respectively, Truman Show delusion, internet delusion, and climate change delusion, all of them a window through madness into the modern world. If you have delusions of grandeur in this century, you're probably not Napoleon, but you may be Bill Gates. The Truman Show delusion, or Truman Syndrome, has drawn attention in recent months in the U.S. and Britain, as psychiatrists in both countries describe a growing number of psychotic patients who describe their lives as mirroring that of the main character in the 1998 film The Truman Show. Some of you have seen this film. I'm not going to go into the plot. With internet delusion, patients typically incorporate the internet into paranoid thoughts, including the fear that the web is somehow monitoring or controlling their lives, or being used to transmit photographs or other personal pieces of information. Okay, I got to pause here and think about this. What are we reading? We're reading a report, what they say is a growing mental illness of people that are paranoid about being spied on. We also live in a world where those very things are taking place and people are being pushed over the edge. We live in a world of cell phones, and that has an effect on the brain, of Wi-Fi, of all these other forms of technology, all the stress, the economic difficulties, the threats of another war, the war on the family, pushed vaccinations, a police state building and growing. There's a lot of stuff for people to be stressed out about. I mean, you also see those reports. We're going to do a new type of, we're going to bring forth a new type of surveillance in the airports. We're going to watch for people twitching, acting nervous, and we'll pull them over to the side and we'll talk to them. We'll have behavior monitoring officers that kind of hang out and stare at people as they walk up to the line. Thought crime. Now, this article, though, is documented on one end, though, a growing amount of people feeling crazy and seeking psychiatric help. Because the truth is, I see a lot of people walking on the streets that are really imbalanced, talking to themselves a lot more, acting more threatening, confused. I mean, everybody's going through something. But you can't just call it a disease. You just can't call it an illness. It is an illness or disease to a certain degree, but not in the way that they're trying to describe it, to where you can, you know, fix it with a pill. You have to get to the root of the problem, what's going on in the world. That's what people are reacting to. I don't know why, but there's a lot of demons, I think, that have been unleashed on our planet, and they're toying with people, playing with people, testing people, trying to bring your energy down. And they're not going to be stressed. They're not going to be upset. They're not going to feel like they're going mad. They're not going to know. They don't know if they're going to eat next year, half these people, or what's going on, or what's going to happen come the elections. You know, all they know is Obama, somebody, Obama, Messiah, somebody come and save us, Obama. Somebody got Obama. Lesser of three evils, Obama. But no, that's not going to be an option. They're not going to let Obama through. They're just going to have us think that in the meantime and maybe unleash some sort of a race war in the end. And we just get busy fighting each other, pumping eyes on each other, getting stressed, getting arguments in the streets because there's a lot of people with nothing. A lot of hungry stomachs, a lot of rage, and a lot of people wanting to think, you know what, that's why I saw it going on at the DNC. A lot of people fighting each other instead of realizing that they're fighting naturally. Same force, pressing them all. All right, we'll be back after this. Give me a call, 512-646-1984. This is We the People Radio Network.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.